Yo, gorillas, welcome to the third episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by GoroNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is no other than the Swedish calisthenics content creator, athlete, what are you, event organizer, influencer, yeah. Coach. For me, you're an executor. You're somebody who's doing a lot, and I'm really, really happy to have you here. Daniel Flefiel, with over 200,000 followers. I added up Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, etc. So 200,000 followers. I'm really, really happy to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here on the podcast.
Perfect. And I want to kick off with the question that I like a lot. You're at a birthday party and somebody approaches you, and you don't know this person, and this person doesn't know calisthenics. That person doesn't know you, and that person doesn't know calisthenics. And he asks you, yo, man, what do you do for a living? How do you describe what you do?
Oh, shit, that's a hard question. What do I do for a living? Yo, well, I first of all, when I explain what calisthenic is, I say it's cool stuff that you do with your own body, on the bar, on the floor, wherever you feel. And what I do for a living is that I am an so-called influencer but also a trainer, where I record what I do, I document my journey, but I also try to create some fun stuff to watch on the internet, on the Instagram. And that has made me got a big following from that sport.
So nice,
like that. And it all depends who, like, if that person is really interested about me, or is it just, oh yeah, do you work, like, what do you work with? It all depends.
Okay. So let's pretend this person is really interested. Like, I guess most of the followers are, the listeners are, and also me. We just see the end product. Maybe somebody is so curious that he scrolls down to your first YouTube videos or to your first Instagram shots to see who was Daniel before he was the person you are today. And like, how did you get to where you are today? What is your story?
So my story started, I started 2015, because I could start when I was like five, but I was started 2015. It's where I decided that I was tired of my life. I was tired of going to a job that I didn't really enjoy, just going to a job to earn some money, like most of the people doing when they don't know what to do with their life. And it's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. And I started there, and I had just been on Ninja Warrior in Sweden, and also another program called Gladiators. I was participating in these two programs, and I just got together with my girlfriend, and I was working as I was installing security alarms.
Oh,
back
wow.
Then. I have had, I think, 17 different jobs during 2 years.
Wow.
Because sometimes I had five jobs at the same time, because I was so bored. I couldn't decide what to do. Okay. So, and I didn't know about entrepreneur, or like business owner, your own business. And like, nobody introduced me to that. Okay. So it started 2015, where I was so tired of this. I was so tired of just working for the money. Like, yeah, it was nice getting paid a lot and like that, but it wasn't fun. I wasn't happy. So I sat at home and I scrolled through Instagram. I've had Instagram for a while, since it's like launched, but I didn't really use that. So if you really scroll down to my first post, you'll see what I posted. It's like, yeah, I dressed as a Joker on Halloween or something. I don't know. But I sat down and I scrolled, and one guy came up on the Instagram, and it was Michael Vasquez. Mm-hmm. Many people know him. And I'm like, this guy has like 500,000 followers. He's doing some push-ups. He's doing like, I don't know, like just training. Like, I'm good at training. I was training back then a lot, like I'm doing today. I was like, damn. No, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it. I'm going to be famous and I'm going to earn a lot of money. So that was my first approach. So I said to my girlfriend, like, Malin, it's time. We're gonna start on Instagram and we're going to be famous. That was like, and she was like, all right, how? I'm like, I don't know. We'll try it. We'll just record and whatever. And started recording, and I didn't know anything about editing or nothing, like zero. But I, every day when I came from the work, I sat, I got home, I worked out, I recorded some stuff, like our workouts. And back then we just started with calisthenics, with Donna J. Starr. So I sat there at home Googling everything, how to grow following, how to post, how to this and how to this, and hours and hours and hours. Like the first year of social media, I think I slept maybe 4 to 5 hours every day.
Wow.
I was so into it. I had such a like burning desire to succeed that this was it. I don't care. I'm going to put all my energy. So I came back from work, working, like doing a workout, hang out with my girlfriend at her place. And then like she went to sleep because she needed to go to school, like the university. And like she's left up 10, 11 maybe. And then from that 2, 3, 4, like at night, I just sat and Googled YouTube, everything, you know, like you can learn a lot on YouTube, a lot. So I sat there and then I needed to wake up at 7 to get to work. But so that was the first year. And one guy that I found was Gary Vee. And I started to listen to him a lot. And I had my thoughts, like I hadn't listened to him from like before this. I had the same thought as him. So he was just describing my thoughts in word, like perfect. So I was like, this guy knows. He knows his stuff. And then I changed the mentality from, oh yeah, I want to be famous, to I will give value. In everything I do, I will give value. No matter if it's a selfie, I'm going to give value. Value can be in the description. I'll write something motivational that inspire, not just a quote, but more like what I'm going through my head, whatever. If I'm recording a workout, it needs to be value for somebody, giving something to the person watching. So I was like, okay, if I'm recording a motivational, inspiring video, that video needs to inspire that person to move, exercise, whatever, get them to get a feeling, you know, like, oh shit, this is cool. This is, I want to do this. So I started, like, that was the ground for me. Like, I need to give value in all what I do. And yeah, so that's where it started, slow and steady, documenting from not even being able to do a 360 to 360 to shrimp 540 and so on, so on. So I had the mentality of documenting and not too much creating, but at the same time, I mixed those both. So I was documenting and also creating.
Nice. And for me, like something that maybe some of the listeners don't know, for me, it's quite impressive that you still, even though you work so hard and even though you have so many topics that you do in your business, let's call it, you're still at such a high level, like as an athlete. For me, that's quite impressive because there are people, maybe me included, maybe who take it as an excuse. I work really, really hard. I don't sleep that much, so I can't be the athlete, or I can't keep that level. But for me, like, it's really, really impressive how you keep that level with your freestyle, with your aesthetics, etc., with your workout in general.
Well, thank you. But one thing is that is a little bit different from me and you is that you are not depending on your level of like you don't need to be an athlete. I need to be some sort of athlete to do what I do, because I do tutorials, I do videos. I need to have that. As your company, as the CEO of Coronation, you're bringing us together, like the athletes, the community. So it is not necessary for you to be at this high, but for me, I need to. I have that pressure. So yeah.
Okay. And I think you also profit as a coach, of course, from your grind, from your workouts still. Because you work together with, or you work out also together with some quite impressive athletes, like your girlfriend to begin with, also like Simon and Dana, etc. So that's like your surrounding is also with a lot of high level athletes.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So what is your goal, like why do you work so hard from now on? I think you said to deliver value, but what's the next step for you?
Like, there's no really end goal, because there, like, after you've got a goal, you'll just set a new goal. It doesn't matter. But for now, like, the thing, I'm 25, like, I'm still young, you are young, and I don't think I figured out what I want to do really, but I think I have, like, the thing I love to do is inspire, and like, I love people saying to me, like, you inspire me to do this, or because of you, I changed my life, I did this. So after, like, sometimes you don't get those answers. You don't get those answers from, like, people don't say that directly. But I've got messages like, hey, dude, I've been following you for 2 years. 2 years ago, I saw a video of you and I started working out. And I just want to send you a message now that because of you, I've had this level. I am a personal trainer now, blah, 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 blah. That is the, like, goal for me. To inspire in some way. So the things I'm doing now, I'm trying out everything. I'm trying out YouTube. How can I inspire in that way? How can I do it in different way, my way? What do I love to do? And so right now I'm focusing a lot of on YouTube. I'm doing, as you know, the Let Me Judge series, where I react to calisthenic battles all around the world. And I say my opinion, I say what I think, because nobody's really doing that, because you can see that in other sports, other people are reacting to all kind of stuff. But here I'm reacting, saying what I think about the athlete, what they do, the performance. And I act as a TV host or something, like speaker. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I found that I really like to do. And that people love it. Like, people enjoy watching it. And I'm just shocked that people really enjoy watching it. First, I was like, damn, should I do this? What would people think? I'm judging it, athletes, and I'm not as good as them. So all these thoughts I had in my head, but I'm like, you know what? I will do this. I want to do this. I don't think it's anything wrong. I'm just like, so I started. And from that, I also did tutorials that I want to, if I have the knowledge now in 10 years or 20 years, I will not be able to do the same stuff as I'm doing today. So I'm trying to use that time to document, record the things I can do now. So that will stay forever on the internet, at least forever. Like, but because we need to face it, in 20 years, 30 years, I will not do the same stuff as I'm doing today. But then it's out. I've done it. And I can look back and I can be like, damn, Daniel, you gave something to the world. So that is that's the goal. And, but I know people will ask, but money, how would you pay for your bills? Of course, I need to pay for my bills. But it's like collaborations. The one thing, that's one thing. Also coaching, another thing. But the thing I'm focusing on right now is to create a membership so people can get to and learn actual freestyle, like how to be a freestyle athlete. I think that's it. That is missing in the community. You can see tutorials, you can see that, blah, 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 but it's no, like, follow this, like an academy, yeah, calisthenic academy, whatever, like, but this is for freestyle.
That's a good idea. Something that I think it's really interesting is I had the interview with Eric Fleck before you, and I saw the same thing, that everybody has these doubts. Are people interested in my content? Will I be like, will they make fun of me? Like, stuff like that. Like, every normal human being thinks stuff like that. But those who win, in my opinion, are those who execute nevertheless. And that's something that I appreciate in your person, that you execute a lot and you don't overthink. You have your doubts, I'm sure, in your head, but you execute nevertheless. And that's something that I see in a lot of successful people, and also like mostly social media content producers, whatever. They execute nevertheless, even though they have doubts or like they don't insecurity sometimes.
Yeah, and the thing is, like before, I wasn't as like I wasn't like this. Like I don't give a shit. But I have my doubt for 1 second, but I never let it take over. Like I never let it, like, oh, I don't let myself overthink about that just one thing, because I'm not, but also on the other side, all the positive comments, all the positive things, I'm not overthinking that as well, because it needs to be balanced. I can't just glorify one side and like put down one side. So that's why even if I get all these comments that are good, blah, 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 I'm like, okay, fine. That's good. Nice. Like I'm doing with the negative. Okay, cool. I'm learning from both comments, but I'm not taking it too hard too much. The thing I'm taking to heart is when somebody comes to me and say, hey, you changed my life. Then I'll be like, damn.
Yeah, that's good. And like, how did you get to this person? Because I think it's a character trait that needs some development, and that needs some training or like life circumstances to get there. So that is something I think people would be interested in. How did you get this person? How did you become this person?
So yeah, it started when I was 10, somewhere around 10. I got bullied at school for like 9 years. I didn't really have friends. I thought I had friends back then, but when I look back, I pretended it was real friends. Those friends, I just wanted to hang around. I thought it would help me, my self-confidence. But in the end, I didn't feel confident. They didn't bring my best sides up. Like I started to hang with the wrong people. They did like all the wrong stuff. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I let them do it, but I just wanted to be around people. And I got bullied for how I look. I had big ears. Like your kid, they are like, you get bullied for everything. You have big ears. You have my surname. In Sweden, we have some words like falafel, you know, those kind of stuff. So for my surname, now I'm like just laughing. So people calling me stuff, and I also got bullied. Like they were pushing me, punching me. And so all of those stuff got me to be more isolated and learn how to be with myself and love myself more. It sounds weird, but I think being bullied is one of the best things that happened in my life. I would not want to change that. And I was alone a lot at home. I was watching, you know, Rocky, Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali. Those were my inspiration. And I just, one day I was at home. I was like, okay, I got bullied. I got pushed. I got beaten. And I was like, I need to work out. I need to defend myself. So I started to work out when I was 14 at home. I did push-ups. I did sit-ups. I did all of that because I'm like, okay, 100 push-ups per day. Boom, 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 boom. And I did that. And I started to work and I found a passion in working out. Before I started working out at home, I was doing it like swimming for a bit. But that was not, it was just fun. It wasn't working out for me. But this was working. I wanted to get the gains, you know. So I started to work out. And my uncle is a policeman. So I asked him, hey, can you teach me some stuff so I can defend myself? And of course, the Polish, he's Polish. So he's like, of course, you're going to defend yourself. So he taught me some stuff to defend myself, not hurt anybody, like just defending stuff. So people will not touch me, like come close to me. And so I started there, and I started to, after, I don't know how it's called in English, but before university, what is it, high school?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I ended high school, that's when I was like, nobody had, like, I understood nobody is confident. Like, nobody's really confident at that age. Everybody insecure. I'm like, but, and I thought that I was alone. People are just pretending a lot. Yeah. I'm like, damn. So nobody that went out from the school with me knows what to do with their life and nothing. So I was like, I heard somebody say, you need to work hard. That's why I have also work harder here.
Nice. As a tattoo.
Yeah. So I started working hard. Just for myself. I didn't care about anybody else. And I just worked hard. That's why I had 17 jobs during 2 years.
Yeah, crazy.
So yeah, that's like the bullying. I would say that made me stronger and not really care about what people think. I got a lesson that most people get when they are grown-ups, when they really get like the world of grown-ups. There's the biggest bullies. Like when you grow up, that's when this real bullying is starting. And people don't know that. People think that the school is the bullying place. But when you grow up, people just judge you for everything.
And you were prepared. Like you went through a hard school, the school of life in early ages, I would say. And that made you be prepared. And many grown-ups aren't prepared for that. That's true.
Yeah, and then they care about what people think. Like, oh yeah, but he said, she said, they think. I'm like, so? Are they going to die with you? Are they going to live your life? Are they going to pay your bills? Like, let me know when they do that, then you can care. Yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah. But you need that mindset to, otherwise you wouldn't be in the person that you are today. Without the mindset of taking it as an advantage or as a
no way. But I think people can learn if they are open to it. But the older you get, the more close-minded you get.
Yeah.
And some people are still open-minded when they are older. That's when they need to use that to just be like, okay, opinions are opinions. People will have opinions about everything. Like, if you ask somebody how to build a spaceship, they will have an opinion, even if they don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So it's like now during these quarantine, everybody knows the cure. Like, no, you don't. If you knew, you would be on TV, you would be helping people. Now you're sitting at your phone at home in your couch and sending messages that this helps. Like, that's why opinions. Yeah.
But also ideas, like a lot of people have a lot of ideas, and the people who win are the ones who execute on these ideas. And because there are a lot of people and who had the same idea of reacting to calisthenics videos, I'm sure, but nobody executed. 100%. And that's why your series is now like becoming so much view, so many views, so such a good feedback, etc. Because you're executing on it.
Yeah, and nobody, like, I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy sometimes when it comes to when I go in for something and go in for it. Like, I already during 3 months, I think I posted 25 videos or 30 videos. Some people would just sit and like say, yeah, I post one every second week or something. I'm like, yeah, I'm posting three. First, my idea was to post every day. That's the crazy part.
The crazy thing for me is that the quality is really good, because there are people who can post every day and who do the same amount of quantity like as you do, a few. But the quality is not near as like so much passion, so much time that you put in a thumbnail or in small stuff. You are so like with details and still doing so much. Like the quality and quantity is so high that's crazy. That's the craziest thing for me.
Thank you. And the thing is, yeah, it is slow from the beginning, you know, when you want to put like the good amount of time to make it look good. But when you learn it, like, you know, okay, this is good, this is not, this is better, blah, 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 blah. Like, now it's like, it goes so fast for me. I'm like, when I see an error, I'm like, okay, fix it. When I want to learn something new, okay, I want to make a new intro, let's say, like I do now, I'm going to post one tomorrow with a new intro. It took me maybe 40 minutes to just learn what should the intro be? How should I say it? How should, like, and now I'm just copying paste. I know. Pop. It's simple, but people don't want to spend that first 90% of energy into it, because then you just need to put 10% energy for the same like output, like what you get. And that's what I think. It's not hard. I promise you, it's not hard. It's super simple, but it's just the first step that people don't take. Take the time to learn and then just repeat.
I think it goes together with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Like he was asked, when you have 3 hours to chop a tree with a saw, what would you do? They asked him, I guess, and he said, like, most people would saw like for three hours, but I would like sharpen the saw first and then saw much quicker. So maybe prepare the saw for one hour and then saw in 2 hours, like much quicker. And that's something that goes together with learning before you execute, because it goes much faster and you have much more experience.
Yeah, and the second thing also is that you need to make errors. You need to fail. Like, if you look back and you really want to look at details on my videos, you see that I make small changes all the time. I knew, oh, damn, that didn't look good in that video. Let's change that. And then, boom. But people are overthinking later, like, okay, I have a 10-minute video. This needs to be the perfect. This would be the breaking point of my career. Like, this would change my life, you know. And then when it doesn't change their life, they're like, no, you know what? This is not for me.
I tried it. It's good.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
I have spent, I think, I would say maybe 20 hours so far on an interview like you're doing here with Eric Ortiz. I'm not done. I hope something happens. It will go good. People will like it. But if it does, I'm like, okay, let's go for the next. I've learned a lot. Like, I've learned a lot. I'm like, this is like free knowledge. Let's go.
Yeah. And it's just time. Like, just like, time is also valuable. But if you see the time as something that you learned and improved, it's not a bad investment.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Like, I would like to switch to topic calisthenics, because as I said already, for me, you're a really impressive athlete also. And because you're, on the one hand, have a lot of experience in working out yourself, but also like in coaching. What would you recommend to somebody who says, yeah, I want to progress faster?
It's always the normal question. Hey, I want to progress faster. How can I learn this like in 1 hour? Yeah. I would say, like, yeah, you can progress faster, of course, with some stuff, tips and so. But if you have that mentality from the start, you will quit. Like, you will quit so fast. As fast as you came in, you'll quit as fast. And I would just say, keep it slow and steady. Find things that you really love, as enjoy to do, instead of just finding the fast, quick. It's the same with money, you know. Like, people, the same people that look for quick ways to earn money, like, there's the same people who want quick, win quick progress in whatever, in training. You need it slow and steady. Like, yes, sometimes you have just some incredible genetics and you will learn some stuff real fast, but if you don't have a background in training, you might not learn plash fast. If you are 190 and weighs 90 kilos, you might not learn the statics as fast as somebody that is shorter and weighs 60 kilos. That's just the truth, like gravity. You might, like, if you have insane genetics, of course. Right? Some people, like, that's, so I would say to somebody, to just shorten the answer, like, don't look for fast progress. I can help you if you look for ways to learn, but not for fast. I can help you with the errors, some errors that you do. I can say, hey, yeah, think about this. But there's no fast. Like, there is fast progress, but don't look for it. Like, when you have come into the progress of working out, having that routine of just doing it every week, that's when you can ask some expert, hey, do I do this right? Is this right? Is this wrong? Should I think about something? No, you just, some is like, no, just keep going. You will have it soon. Perfect.
Okay. Because I think the trap is that many people, when they started with calisthenics or working out, they progress really fast. Like a lot of people.
Newbie gains.
Yeah. Like when you start, the first few months, maybe the first year, maybe the first 2 years even, you progress so fast. And then a lot of people want to keep that speed. And then they neglect the health of their joints. And then, yeah, like a lot of stuff can...
If you're 15, I'm happy for you. If you start at 15 years old to work out the planche, guys, like, you have a big advantage. If you focus really on the fundamental basics, you will get so freaking strong when you're 22. You'll be insanely strong. But if you just focus on the basics and stuff and don't rush, damn, you will be like all these Daniel Lysons, Eric Ortiz, Viktor Kamenov. But if you rush it at 15 directly, you will, like, after 5 years, your body will be done. Like, done. I have a guy, you know, Simon. He is a beast. He's been doing this for 2 years. And people are like, how? But one thing that, like, people don't think about is he had, like, 10 years of training before in, like, professional swimming. That is his fundamental, like, base. That has helped him like escalate quick in like calisthenics. His body knows what to do. Oh yeah, I'm working out. Let's just adapt. And if you're a new beginner and just starting, you can't go that fast because your body will break.
Yeah, and that's the trap of social media, because you see a lot of people progressing really fast, and it's dangerous because you maybe get the belief that everybody should like progress so fast.
And the thing with, like, not only calisthenics, all the sports, is that 90%, I need to say 90%, is that everybody just showing results.
Yeah.
Like nothing else. People building an impossible picture of how it is to work out, how to get the gains. And then the same people that posted the result are doing like planche workout. And then they show not the first exercises they did, like the push-ups. Hey, start with, this exercise that is there that I started with this 3 years ago, like after 3 years of my journey. And it's so wrong. And so that's why people posting only results of the best stuff, the coolest stuff, they are building a wrong picture. And yeah.
And you go against that because you started with the series Road to Planche. And you took the people on your journey.
Yeah. And that's why, like, Road to Planche is really a baby of mine that have been, like, I think since the start of 2018, I started Road to Planche. I think it was 2018. And there, like, you can see how I didn't start from zero. I can't say that because I had worked out, like, I've been working out for a while. But you can see the rush I had in the beginning. And I talk about it later on. I'm like, listen, guys, that's wrong. Now you learn. I learned. Go back, do it again. This is what I'm doing here, papa. Because I did too much of training, like I did planche, front, freestyle. And then biceps tendonitis almost snapped. I was like, oh shit. If it would snap, I would be depressed. But I did a rehab. I get back. I still had the pain after a while. And I showed the way of my rehab as well. I showed the way how I started, what I'm about going to think about, like every step and my ups and downs. I'm sharing. I'm being transparent. And like latest, I said, you know, guys, I need to take a pause with the Road to Planche because I'm trying to impress you guys and not doing the work for me. So I need to get back, and then I'm coming back to show you my documenting my journey. Yeah. So yeah.
I would be interested in how you work out. Like, what is your approach to working out in general? Because you are able to do quite some dynamic moves, and I guess the training for it is quite different than it is for the planche, for example.
Yeah, it's like two different worlds, actually. Before I love freestyle. Like, I love the dynamics. That's my favorite. That's why I'm so much better at it. I did freestyle up to 4 times per week before. And it was it's fun to fly, feel like you are, like, there's no gravity in that way. But then it's come to the statics. I've been weak at that. Why is because I've not been working on it. Like, nada, just some reps, basics, just to keep up with, like, some strength. But I thought I was gaining strength when I was combining freestyle and statics. But then I saw, damn, you can't do this. You have no energy for statics. Who do you think you are? So I changed that because I need to get stronger at statics. So I changed that to 1 freestyle workout per week to training 3 to 4 statics.
Oh.
Like strength. So yeah, it's just the mentality I needed to change if I want to get better at the statics. Because like 25, I'm 25. My body's not like it was when I was 18. I can't do everything. So I need to be smarter, a lot smarter. So that's why. So now it's just more focused on the strength. And actually now it's more focused on the planche, understanding it, doing the exercises, following it, and not getting injured.
Okay. Then let's go a little bit deeper. What is how do you learn the 360, the swing 360?
So how you learn the swing 360? Well, if you're a beginner, you just need to learn how to swing. That's the first thing. You can't go up to bar and think, yeah, I'm gonna do a 360 without knowing how to swing. Then you will fall down and injure yourself, whatever, like, not injure yourself so bad, but you fall down, like, maybe on your butt or something. But first thing, learn how to swing. That's the, like, the basics of freestyle. You need to learn how to swing. And here, like, learn how to swing, and then after that, understand how to spin. Understand how to spin is like where you, one thing I, a tip I give is where your head goes, your body will follow. So if you start to look over your shoulder, your body will follow that way. Like, it's almost impossible that you will not do that. If your head is stuck forward and you're trying to spin, you will fail.
Just have like your thumbnails in my head where your head is like extremely, and when you now say it, I just realize that you do it like not to the extreme, but that I saw it at yours, that you're really looking over your shoulder a lot.
Yeah. And you can see that in all of the people that are actually good at spinning, like rotating, they look over their shoulder. Because when you look over your shoulder, you're now not doing a 360, you're doing a 180 instead. Mm-hmm. And 180 is easier for your head to understand, like, do than a 360. You will not get as dizzy.
Okay.
So that's when you need to start. And also not be in a 360, you can't be a helicopter. That's what I call it. When you have your hands out like a helicopter wings, you need to have them close to your body and be ready to catch the bar.
Okay. And like, start with mattresses. How does somebody, or no, the question is, how does somebody start who doesn't have like a gym, like a mattresses, like stuff like that? Because I see a lot of people who want to learn dynamics, but they don't have the equipment of a gymnastics gym, or like you have also a nice gym in Sweden, in Stockholm.
Yeah. Like, all the stuff I've learned is not from a gymnastic place.
Okay.
I have done it outside as well. Like, okay. When we started, we had one gym in Stockholm. We went there, and it was just like, what do you call it? Like the small wooden stuff on
the parallels, or no?
No, under the bar to be soft. It wasn't like a mat. It was just, I don't know what to call. anyway, the ground was soft enough to like, okay, to, it wasn't asphalt. So we were there like doing the stuff, learning new stuff. And the thing is, you need to start with basics to get over the fear. If you start with just, yeah, I will go crazy with a 540 when you're a beginner, it's like you're shooting yourself in your foot, because if you fail that 540, you will not get back. You will not do anything more if you're not crazy. Some people are crazy, but start with muscle ups, dynamic muscle ups, front spin, like muscle up 360. That can be started on a low bar. Like, learn how to swing when you're confident in those stuff, when you know, yeah, I know this is, here's the bar, I can grab it, I have the power for it, I know what I'm doing, I know where my body is. Then you have the confidence to start doing shrimp flip. You have the confidence to start doing a 360 without any mats, because you know, okay, I have the control for this. Let's just step one step forward and one step forward. Instead of taking 10 steps, don't do 10 steps, one step, one step.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So for a beginner, that's like the step for step thing, not provocating the fails to create some barriers in your head. That's like a good thing, I guess. But you also work together or work all together with Simon, with some more advanced athletes. How do they still, or how do you still make progress in your dynamic workout?
Like, Simon started after me. But he is just insane. And I'm actually helping him, coaching him when it comes to the training. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than happy to do that, because I have a bit more experience. I have failed. I have failed huge. And all the athletes, no matter if you are a professional athlete and want to become a professional athlete, you need to fail at least once to understand how it feels. Because if you can overcome that fail, you are like, nothing will break you. And I've failed. I've went to the hospital. Like, I've done a front, what is called, ice ball. And I did
front flip regrep, yeah.
Front flip regrep. I was trying that, but then I had too much speed back and I was just stumbling back and hit my head in a thing. Oh. Went to the hospital. And I have other fails that is really scary. But I always came back. And this is with the new beginners. They can be crazy, but they have never failed. It's like Simon failed like 1 month ago, and he didn't, like, it took a while to get back. And we just forced him because we knew you need to get back. And he had he had our support to get back. And that is important. So it's, even if he motivates me to be like, shit, that is crazy stuff that he's doing. Like he's just a beast. But then also he has our side that we know, we have experience. And I've told us there is that one that is more experienced. Like, if he is smart, he can always win. Even if the guy is a little bit better, but experience, like, it's like I talk with Eric. He says, no, people don't even know how to breathe during competitions. It's the most important to get recovered, to be calm. And talents, the new ones, don't know that. They're just and this is like, that's why Simon, we are in different levels when it comes to the actual skills. Some stuff I'm better at, some stuff he's better at. So it's just, but I have more experience, so he's getting help from me, and I have a good understanding of new moves, what to think of. So when he wants to learn something new, I'm like, try this. Okay, try that. And he often helps. So he's like, damn, this is good. Thank you.
Okay. What's the hardest move that you have learned in your career?
Oof, the hardest move. Well, I don't know. That's a hard question. That's so I've done a front flip, but not a re-grab. I have done giants, big giants, like no-touch 540. I would say like no-touch 540 and giants, because they are like scary. Mm-hmm. When you just are a full giant, not just like a baby giant, that's full. And when you, it's not in a gymnastic gym, I just have my small mat. So if I fly, I will fly away. So, but that, yeah, that's it. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. And how did you overcome that fear to, for example, the giant where you have like a big blockade in your head?
So my tip for the blockade that all of us have, maybe when we are starting a new freestyle move, is that you just need to imagine yourself doing it. First of all, you need to see yourself really doing the move, understand like how it feels on the bar, what hurts, what not, where do you feel, where do you tension, where do you do everything. And you just imagine, like repeat, repeat, repeat. And also, when you go up, you can't hesitate. When you're doing it, you're gonna try. If you don't make it, you don't make it, but you can't hesitate in midair. So if I'm doing a giant, I go for a muscle up and then I kick out up with my hip. First, I maybe have really bent arms. I'm like, okay, okay, now I know how the leg feels. Now I'm going to start to straighten out my arms a bit. And then I work that slowly, slowly. Okay, now I understand how to straighten out my hands, my hips and everything. Now I know the only part I need is the speed. I need to commit. So I just sit down for 5 minutes or something. I breathe. I close my eyes and then I think, okay, Daniel, you can do it. You're going to do that. I just imagine myself doing it, boom, 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 boom. Then I go up and then I count to three, like, or count down 3, 2, 1. And then I go, I can't, like, from that moment when I say one, it's nothing else besides this move. And during the time when I jump up and do the move, I'm like, you're going to do it. 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 I'm just repeat nothing else. I can't have anything else in my head, because if I hear a voice like you're going to fail, it's over.
Yeah.
And so I just need to repeat. I'm screaming. I'm like, you're going to do it. 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 And I just do it while I'm doing it, because then I don't have anything in my head besides I'm going to do it.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I would be interested in what is, from your point of view, what are the biggest mistakes calisthenics athletes do today that you see a lot?
They want to start with advanced move too early. Like, they don't build a base. I would say that I almost did that in the beginning. If I hadn't been doing kickboxing before and that stuff before, like the way I started would not be the optimal way, like the best way for my body, for the development. But because I had it already, I had already worked out before. I've been doing kickboxing, competing in that. I know how to work out. I'm a personal trainer. I know stuff. But the thing I see many calisthenic people is like, they see my stuff sometimes and they're like, yeah, I want to learn. I'm like, how long have you been working out? Yes, 6 months. I'm like, yeah, dude, no, not now. Just be focused for at least a year for the basics, and then you'll be much stronger than me in 2 years, like a lot. You will eat me. But instead, they are, let's say a person that start with planche directly when they don't even know how to, like, I don't know, do a push-up. And then they, like, the body can't develop. Like, if you're not doing it right, your body will not adapt, because it's like the body don't understand, like, what should I do here? So just start with the level you are on. It's nothing wrong. You will, the person who start will develop so much faster if it just start with the basics and then keep going with the next steps, next step, and next step. So maybe like for somebody starting, learn how to do 10 pull-ups, learn how to do 15 dips, 20 dips, learn how to do 20 push-ups, learn to do 5 muscle-ups. Like, have a base of strength. Learn how to do some box jumps, high box jumps. Because calisthenics are not doing legs, so.
Do you work on legs?
When I do backflip.
Okay.
No, but sometimes, like, I have periods where I do, like, during 2-3 months, I do hip thrusters, I do squats, I do deadlifts. But it's good because it's a big muscle that also increases the, like, you, it helps the body to also recover from the upper part of the, like, you, everybody in calisthenics is just doing arms and back and stuff, but it helps to recover. But the ego is sometimes taken, like, no, why should I do legs? I want to get strong in planche. So, but in periods, depending if I'm working for a competition or not, or like, it all depends.
Okay. I think you saved yourself well, and you won't get roasted in the comments. I hope so.
But most of the calisthenic athletes are not doing legs. And I can't say that my legs are small. Like, I'm 183. I weigh 80 kilos, and I'm not super big at the upper body. I'm not. And like, I'm proper built. Like, if I can say that, like, my legs are fitting my upper body.
Okay.
So some people don't, like, some people are really, like, we need to just to be straight honest. Some people don't have legs. Like, they're hiding behind the sweatpants and everything. Because they have never done legs. I have been doing kickboxing. I've kicked people, like, kicked back. I've done stuff. But some people have never done a leg day in their life.
I think it all depends on goals. Like, why does a freestyle athlete, like a complete freestyle athlete, needs to work out legs? Like, it's not unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, if somebody falls from a big height.
Yeah.
And can't take the impact on the knees and stuff.
But he can fall into a planche, like.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I would say the people, like, if some do once per week or every two weeks, it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you doing legs?
Let's switch the topic. Let's go. No, I'm doing legs. Like, even currently, when I'm injured at the shoulder, I have to do legs, and I like do them at least once per year. So that's like quite regular. Like, something that I like a lot that you do is that you push calisthenics in a lot of areas. You don't just do YouTube videos. You don't just do like some vacations in Egypt and shooting some nice tent photos. But you're also, like, last year you organized the Beast of the Bars event in Stockholm. And you're also putting your time into creating parks, into building parks, and being in the communication with the city, etc. So that's something that I like a lot. And because a lot of people are writing, yeah, how can I do more for the sports calisthenics? Or they say, yeah, I like a lot that Gornation is doing a lot for the sports calisthenics. What is your opinion? How can the normal, maybe student, maybe, I don't know, worker, do something to push the sports calisthenics and to make it bigger, like you do well, in my opinion?
Well, the first thing we need to, like, put the facts is, I don't earn any money from the things I'm doing with those kind of stuff. Like, I'm losing more than I'm earning. And that's one thing people can't understand. Oh shit, why should I lose when I'm trying to create something? Yeah, but in the beginning, it is like that. And that's, I think that is the first thing that is stopping people from actually doing anything, because they say, oh, there's a cost. Damn, and I will not get anything from that. Like, I'm like, but let's say the parks that are in Sweden. If somebody has the time, like, if they have a normal job and they like calisthenics, they work out and they have nothing else, they have a lot of time, they could put the time to build parks. Like, it's not complicated. You just need to find the person. Yes, that will take time, but it's not complicated. You just need to pursue that, like, say, hey, I want to park, have a presentation. You need to make a presentation. That will take time, but take the time. And then you need to present. Okay, I don't know how to present. Learn how to present. That takes time. And you need to go to the meeting. You need to be a little bit scared when you have sitting five people in the room and you're presenting calisthenics. You need to be confident. Learn how to be confident. Like, you need to learn a lot, but it's fully possible. Like the park, it took me half a year to get approval that I will have a park. And this is with the others. Like, I'm not trying to brag that I'm good, I'm better than anybody. No. I just want to tell people it's possible if you really want to. If you don't, you're not ego, like have an ego of like, I need to earn something from this. I don't get anything. But the people who actually, like, let's say somebody builds a park. There's a calisthenic athlete that, damn, I would want to park here in my city. If he fixed the park, it doesn't cost him cost him time, maybe some travels, the tax, I don't know. But when that park is built, he can have clients there. He had built some opportunity for himself to have clients outside. And then he doesn't need to pay for a gym to have clients there. So they need to see like the big picture of it. And not only like, wait, this will take time. I need to do this. And I would just get this? No way. I'm going to sit on Netflix and chill here. So that's like anybody can do it. Like, they just need to decide what do I want? And then look back, like, how do I get it? What is the steps? And is it for me or is it for somebody else? Do I really want this? Like, and this park that I'm building is like far away from me. Like, it's far, but I think it's the break, like, part that will make another, like, if I build this park, they want another park, another one. And it will get closer to my place, closer to like building the community in Sweden. And in the end, like, when there's a lot of parks, people are starting to do calisthenic a lot. Well, I'm the calisthenic guy. People will come to me. People know me. I'm arranging competition. I can do a competition anywhere in the parks. People get there. I will get sponsors. I will get paid to organize. So that's the big picture, maybe in 3 years. So it all, people need to see the big picture. That's why I have, where's my, oh, I have, you can see.
Never lose sight of the big picture.
Yeah, I have this beside my computer, and that is the important. Like, don't lose the big picture. You need to see the big picture of everything, and it might take time. It's okay. If you love this, go for it. But don't be ego. Don't think, yes, I should get something today.
And with everything you do, you create a possibility. Maybe one YouTube video will completely blow off. Maybe one shot that you did in a vacation totally blows off. Like, maybe TikTok blows completely off. Like, you're creating so many opportunities that maybe like we know that 90% of them, maybe 99% even, won't pay off. But the 1%. And this is why you create so much. This is why you work hard every day and not just like every Tuesday or something. You're creating possibilities every day and you're raising the probability of the success like every day. And that's something that's true.
Yeah, and like, we need to, like, I like to be honest, because honestly lasts long. So that's why I say I'm not the best athlete. I'm not. I'm far away from the best athlete. I'm not the best looking in like body athlete. No, like far away from that. But the thing is, like, so many athletes that are like top 10 in the world, like, they could accomplish huge stuff, like huge. I mean, enormous. And I wish I had the possibility to be their like consultant. Like, but I don't have the time to do this and that. Like, I before I had too, like, I had too much to do and nothing got really good. I got nothing done, like really done in a way that it will excel in a good way. So I just, no, I said, no, I will not do that. I even say no to my own ideas. I'm like, no, this is not a line for what I want to do. But the big athletes can do amazing impact. Like, they could, like, in a year, like, definitely get live off just social media. They don't need to go to work. They don't need to just that, or build their own business in 1 year. Like, they don't know how much impact they have on people and how much they can change and help, really, if they just put the time to do a little bit more, even 10%, 20% more. But yeah.
Let's get into this example because I like it. Like we are now consultants, or like you're the main consultant. I'm your helper in this case, and a client approaches you and says, like, "Yo, guy, yo, Daniel, my name is Paul, and I can do easy 720s like in a row, like 720 is no problem for me. I can hold a full planche for 1 minute, stuff like that's no problem. But yeah, like I've got 1,700 followers on Instagram and 200 on YouTube. What shall I do? Like, let's do 50-50. Let's split all the income that we make through influencership, etc. Daniel, you're my consultant now. What shall I do?"
Well, first of all, if you can do a 720, congrats. But yeah, the first thing, creating content, like, it's super easy. If you have a phone, like if you, most of the people have like the latest iPhone, but they don't have, can't afford anything else. But yeah, they have the latest phone. So if that you have a phone, you can create anything. You can create YouTube videos. You can create Instagram. And that's what you need to focus first on. You need to be creating stuff. You need to, so people get to know you. Nobody knows you now. And it's okay. Like, yeah, your family and friends, but people outside, you need to reach them. You need to reach the community. You need to tell, "Hey, I'm here. Check what I'm doing. I'm giving value." So first thing, don't be the perfect athlete. Like, yeah, I want to create the perfect video. I want to this one. Like one video will blow up or whatever. Like, don't be that guy. Like, if you want to excel fast, it's one in a million. Like, the one guy that is doing that is licensed, because no, everybody knows him already. Like, he just need to do one video, but not everybody is licensed. They don't have the name. So focus on creating and create humor. Like, humor, people love that. Do something fun with planche. Do planche walks with their song. And just create that. Do front lever dance with a song. That's one thing. Create some, I don't know, just create something with a song. Like, sync it with the song. That's a good way, actually. Really good way. YouTube. Teach people how to do a 720. Teach your best stuff. Don't save anything. Just teach. Document your journey. Document your workout. Just record your workout. And then you make a nice edit. And learning how to edit is super simple. YouTube, so how to edit videos, the best software to edit videos, how to edit software that is free. Like, you don't need to pay for anything. And if you don't want to learn how to edit, get together with somebody that wants to do that part and share that with them. But don't get ego that, hey, you know what? I'm doing all the work. I'm the athlete. I should get the most. No, if you're sharing, you're sharing. Like, you want to do with me. So find somebody that can edit for you and share the split for that collaboration, whatever, later on. Don't, like, if you don't want to do the work. But the first thing, create a lot of stuff. And then you find what is working, what is not working. And don't be that guy that only takes selfies. Don't be that guy.
Let's pretend Paul is really like shy, and he's perfectionist. So he won't be able to launch a video every day because he thinks, this video is not good enough, and I don't like to talk into the camera. I don't like that people see me that close. This make fun of my voice, etc. So he's quite shy and perfectionist. What would you tell him?
Perfect. I have the answer. So. So one thing I did with my girlfriend and Dana, when we started, I wasn't confident in front of the camera. Like, I was like, hi, my name is Daniel. I think I have the first video when I'm trying. Like, I'm like, it was so uncomfortable. But so I came up with an idea that, you know what? Let's make it, like, we make a group chat, and every day we need to record ourselves when we talk into the camera and tell what we did today. Explain the day in 1 minute. So every day we need to do that for at least 30 days to send a 1 minute video to explain, hey, yo, what's up? Daniel here. Today I did this because I had a problem with my mother. So I wanted to solve that and blah, 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 blah. And I just talked to the camera. The first few days it was like awkward. I did a retake. And then I sent it. And the same with the other guys, like Malin and Donna. So we did that. And after 10 days, we were like, damn, this is starting to get comfortable. Like, hey, what's up? Yo, how are you? I'm starting to get to be myself more. Yo, yeah, I'm here today. I'm going to work out with Donna J Star and I'm going to teach him who's the best. Like, I started to be myself, like the confident guy. And then I started to learn how to talk in front of the camera, why not to overthink. So first thing, you need to practice. Practice. If you can practice on your own, you don't need to post that. Have somebody that you trust that doing maybe this with you, or just somebody that you trust that you want them to watch this. I promise you that that guy or girl will be like, hey, you're getting better. This is nice. Or give you some tips like, hey, try to look at the lens and not on the screen. And try not to cover your mouth like this. Like, and then you learn. You're like, hey, it's okay. She or he is helping me. And you learn it. And then you get confident in front of the camera. That's how, what the best thing I have, like, just try to learn how, like, practice on your own before going out. You don't need to know everything from the beginning. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's good. So Paul is ready to go.
Yes.
And yeah, for me, I would like to ask you some quick questions before we come to an end of this this episode. We have like, I will just ask you really short questions with a short answer from you, I hope. Yeah. we will see. Pizza or burger?
Pizza.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog, 100%.
Your favorite location for holidays?
Oh, that's hard. I haven't been on the best places. Okay. Damn, I want to Maldives.
Yeah.
I think that would be my best place. I don't know yet.
Let's say yet. So your favorite location for holidays yet?
Oh, I would say my grandmother's house, actually, in Poland.
In Poland.
That's like, yeah, quiet place. And I can relax.
You have like roots in Poland, but wasn't there also
and
Iraq? And how did you like and your parents get to Sweden?
So they met in Poland, my father studied there, and then they moved to Sweden together.
Okay.
Because he needed to flee the country because of they wanted to get him back to the war, but he didn't want to get back to the war.
Okay.
So he came to Sweden, and then like, hey, I told my mother to come with him. And I was born here in Sweden.
Awesome. Great. What would you work as if social media just disappeared?
Oh, damn. I can choose a lot of stuff.
40 jobs.
But I would say like, I think three opportunities. One is that I would choose is that content creating content, recording, just to focus and get better on that, because social media can disappear, but people still need videos to represent their company or whatever on the website. Like, they want that. The other thing is event organizer, like create the craziest event. And then if I go crazy 100% on that, whoa, like I can't even imagine what I would do. I will sleep on events all. But the third thing is like go hardcore on just coaching. So three stuff.
Okay. Your favorite calisthenics athlete, except me.
Can we categorize them?
Yeah. Like.
No, but I can't say one. I don't have one. But I have Kura Workout. Mm-hmm. Is one of them. And then we have Eric Ortiz and Daniel Isons.
Okay. Favorite book?
What is it called? The compound effect.
Okay. Yes. I just read that because of you. And yeah, I
have. You liked it?
It's a good book, yeah.
Simple, simple and like straight to the message.
Simple and motivating. Like there are books that have a lot of deep content, and there are books for me who have like a lot of motivation afterwards. And this was like a motivational book for me.
Yeah.
Best calisthenics event you've been at so far?
Well, the biggest.
Best.
Oh, it's mine, of course. Hello. No, but it is the, what is it called? World of Bar Heroes in FIBO. That's the best, like how it's organized, how like the setup and every like live screen, everything is just crazy. The program for 3 days,
yeah,
it's just above normal. 4 days, four you know days. It, yeah. So that's really like that's the best event I've been on. Awesome. Yeah.
And now the last question: dynamics or statics?
Dynamics.
That was clear. Okay, so before I want to end, I've got one last question. Where can people reach you? How can they get in touch with you?
So easiest will be on Instagram right now when this is recorded. I don't know how long Instagram will survive. But Instagram or Instagram email. That's it.
And anything you want to share, like this year, I guess it's quite difficult with events, etc. But what are your plans for this year, for next year concerning YouTube content or events, etc.?
So for this year, it's super hard to plan anything. Like I don't plan, like I don't know when the next competition is because I have the Swedish championship that I'm organizing. I don't know when. People are asking me when. I'm like, I don't know because things are changing week per week. And I'm like, yeah. I wait. So, but as far as now, I'm thinking I'm doing 1 week at a time. I'm really doing 1 week at a time because I'm trying to adapt to the situation. I don't know when I can travel. I don't know when I can do anything. And so 1 week at a time and focusing a lot of YouTube, because I can sit at home. I can plan. I can do interviews like this one. I'm doing that as well. I can do the reactions. I can do other stuff. I'm trying to find ways, things that calisthenic needs on the YouTube platform. So I'm trying to find that. And when I can get back to real training and stuff, I will also do like the tutorials and the stuff that really blew my page, like on YouTube that people like, the tutorials, freestyle stuff. But also at home now, when I have the time, I'm building the website for the membership for the calisthenic freestyle school or whatever to call it. So when I can go to the gym to record and have, so I can start to get people there too, so people can really learn. And it will so go so deep. It will be like the mindset, how to think, how to breathe, how to prepare, like prehab, rehab, everything. So it will not be like, yeah, you have a 360 tutorial here. That's done. No, it's when it's a 360 tutorial, I will teach you like how fast you will move your head.
And how far.
Yeah.
Like the exorcist.
Exactly.
Perfect. So we're coming to an end. Daniel, thanks a lot for being here. Thanks to everybody for listening until the end. That's like something that's unusual in these times of really short attention spans, etc. So thanks everyone for being here. And before I give Daniel the last words for this episode and to say goodbye, if you like this episode, rate it, give it a thumbs up wherever you are on a podcast, give us a review. And don't forget to write the next interview guest in the comments. And if you have any questions for Daniel that he can respond to, or maybe we do a second episode, we'll see. So thanks, Daniel, for being here. I'm out, and thanks for everybody for listening.
Thank you for having me here. And guys, you need to like this video. If you're watching this on YouTube, you need to rate this. If not, you will not get the gains you want, all right? So just rate this video to 5 stars. And like this video, and also make sure to subscribe to Gornation's channel. All right.